SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, about 10 minutes in on this Wednesday, and I was reciting what a busy week plus it's been for Nicole Russo, who, of course, first had to get ready for the sales for Fasig Tipton Sunday and the Keeneland activity that followed. Then, of course, was preparing and was keeping track of a pair of categories for the advance work on the Breeders' Cup, then had to write the Distaff story for the paper, and just as quickly shift gears back into the mode of sales coverage. And there's been a lot to cover. Nicole Russo, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. And before we talk about the sale, some quick Breeders' Cup reaction. We talked a few times ahead of Cup. What were your overall thoughts?
I personally thought it was, a very satisfying, very interesting Breeders' Cup. A lot of the Eclipse Award categories were really locked up at the Breeders' Cup. Of course, Accelerate, going to be your champion older male with his victory in the Classic, capping off just an outstanding season, with all of his grade one victories. The real debate going on between Justify and Accelerate for Horse of the Year now. Of course, the historical precedent says Justify is the Triple Crown winner, will be voted the Horse of the Year, but I think there is a real debate with how Accelerate performed in the Classic. Of course, Monomoy Girl locking up her divisional title with her victory in the Distaff, and just rounding off an outstanding season where really the only one who could beat her was herself with the DQ and the Cotillion. Mademoiselle Girl and Accelerate actually both looking ahead potentially to the Pegasus World Cup in January at Gulfstream, and in keeping with the bloodstock news, Accelerate actually shipped straight from the Breeders' Cup from Churchill Downs on Sunday to Lanes End Farm, where he's here this week to be shown to potential breeders who of course are all in town for the sales. This is kind of when most of the stud farms will run their open houses and stallion shows for prospective breeders, so doing what Three Chimneys did with Gunrunner last year, Accelerate about a week off here in Kentucky. His groom, Alex, has accompanied him from the racetrack, and then he'll go back to John Sadler in California to prepare for the Pegasus. So it's really sort of interesting, the new dimension that the Pegasus has added to how all of these farms have to get ready for the breeding season and showcase their stallions, with this new race in the schedule. We've seen it the last several years with really high-profile horses.
No doubt, Accelerate and California Chrome and Gunrunner, etc., and it's a payday that just is irresistible. Speaking of getting paid, the stud fees this morning coming out, and Lane's End, Accelerate will be $20,000, City of Light $35,000, and that by virtue of being a son of Quality Road bolsters that number. West Coast, the son of Flatter, will stand for $35,000 as well. So there's your lineup of the Lane's End trio, powerhouse trio, and
Lane's End really one of the big winners on Breeders' Cup Saturday, of course, with Accelerate and City of Light's big victories. And you mentioned the fees, and I do think City of Light's higher fee is a reflection of him being a son of Quality Road, who's just really come so alive the last 2 years here. His own fee is rising to $150,000 next year at Lane's End. He's his fee, more than doubling from its 2018 rate. So, again, City of Lights fee really a function of that. Accelerate, I talked a little bit to Bill Farish from Land's End on Sunday, and he, you know, he pointed out, looking at Lucky, Accelerate sire, maybe not who you immediately think of as a sire of sires, but Land's End was very interested in this horse because, you know, looking at Lucky is a son of Smart Strike, who, of course, Land's End stood for so many years, proving classic sire, a very versatile sire, the late Smart Strike, and you know, that's really what attracted Land's End to the horse initially, and then, you know, of course, his race record.
Well, the sales that took over as the Breeders' Cup dust settled and the players and fans headed home, plenty of bloodstock personnel had to turn their attention to Sunday night and billed as the Night of Stars. It did not disappoint. Let's start there, Nicole, and give us your Sunday night impressions.
Well, you know, going into the Phasing Tipton sale, I really thought that it might be a sale where the numbers might not tell the whole story. Of course, looking at last year at Phasing Tipton, you had Songbird at $9.5 million and Tepin at $8 million at the top of the market, you know, leading some of the best figures in the Phasing November sales history. And coming into this year, I thought it was, you know, a very strong catalog across the board, but I thought that maybe, you know, you wouldn't have quite that level of star in the catalog, and that maybe the numbers might show some year-to-year declines, and, you know, that wouldn't tell the whole story of how strong the sale was. But I was really, you know, pleasantly surprised by how good the numbers came back, Phasing coasting gains in a number of categories on Sunday night. Of course, the sale was bolstered, was led by $7.5 million Lady Aurelia, the European champion, two times a winner at Royal Ascot. Lady Aurelia was in the sale in order to dissolve a partnership between Stone Street Farm and the other entities that had raced her. Stone Street essentially bought out the partners and, you know, took Lady Aurelia home for $7.5 million. You know, so that certainly bolstered the figures, but very good numbers, you know, across the board behind that, including, I think, the weanling market, both at Phasing November and here at Keeneland, which began its run on Monday, has been very good. Last year, we had a pair of $1 million weanlings who established a record at, you know, Phasing November. And again, that's a revenue they were going to have to make up this year. And they didn't disappoint, as a weanling sold for $1.9 million on Sunday night to shatter that record and to bring us into a strong, you know, weanling market, I think, that has continued throughout the week. So really pleasantly surprised, and I'm sure Phasing Tipton was pleasantly surprised by some of the returns there on Sunday.
Before we turn to Keeneland and the last couple of days, also from Sunday night, touch on you know, some of the backstories, what was going on, and the names that, you know, some people have closer relationships with certain consigners and certain outfits and with the, you know, with certain sales companies, but it seemed like Sunday night was a wide array of very familiar high profile names, including Coolmore and Mandy Pope, of course Stone Street, Don Alberto, Bridalwood, Narvik, Yoshida, etc. And on the weanling market, Larry Best. I mean, Larry Best is he's like an octopus.
Yes, I find this very interesting that, you know, Larry Best was kind of a breakout buyer in the two-year-old and yearling markets in recent years, you know, really looking for that young stock to build up, you know, a racing string that's really starting to gain its foothold nationally. And now he's turned to the weanling market, you know, going after some of these horses at an even earlier stage. That is one interesting thing, by the way, that I think we've seen in the weanling market all week, is that we've got a lot more end users, that is to say people who intend to, you know, to raise these weanlings and make the long-term investment of racing them, as opposed to pinhookers. Some of the pinhookers actually have been, you know, shut out so far through Keeneland Book 1 and the early portion of Book 2 here, but, you know, that's an interesting segment of the market. But anyway, back to Larry Best, yeah, he's really made a splash in the weanling market here this week. he bought three of the top four priced weanlings Sunday night at Phasing Tipton, excluding only the $1.9 million weanling who I mentioned, who was the record price. Seth bought the three highest priced ones behind that. He's really made a splash this, you know, at Keeneland as well, with a couple of high ticket weanlings yesterday in the book two opener, a couple for more than half a million, including a colt from the first crop of Nyquist, who was the top priced weanling of the session yesterday. So Larry Best, you know, really going to town here, you know, in the market for the young horses. And you mentioned Mandy Pope. She helped fuel the activity at Phasing Tipton on Sunday night, purchasing Stop Charging Maria, winner of the Breeders' Cup Distaff 3 years ago, who Stop Charging Maria, of course, was the second highest priced horse of the night, behind Lady Aurelia. Her weanling went through the ring right after her, and also sold for that high ticket price again to Mandy Pope, who now controls the family. So Mandy Pope coming in and doing what she does with some of these top-priced mares. She's built one of the strongest broodmare bands, some of the most recognizable names in Kentucky.
Turn the attention from Sunday night to Monday, and Lady Eli was going to be the lady of the, we had the lady of the evening, and the Lady Eli was the lady of the day. The $4.2 million price tag. And John Sikora, and we're going to talk to John next week once the sales dust settles. John steps up and brings her home with the Warfront in the belly. Warfront was the story on Monday. I brought this up with Sid Fernando last hour. No less than five of the top seven knockdowns among these mares had Warfront babies, a couple of Curlins as well, and the Medaglia d'Oro that Tiffany's Honor was carrying, $2.2 million to Mr. Yoshida. And I got to mention one name that you can riff on, certainly, Nicole, Jane Lyon and Summer Wind, who got game winner on Friday, had potential to have an impressive double with West Coast on Saturday. She, of course, in recent years, Moonshine Memories, a Summer Wind product. She's had a really strong run, and she brought home Key to My Heart with a Warfront for $1,750,000. That was the fourth highest price on Monday.
Yes, and Warfront. It was on Monday's book one session at Keeneland. The story was those commercial rivals, Warfront and Tap It. Warfront, I believe, three of the top four mares sold on Monday at Keeneland, sold in full to him. Tap It had the two highest priced weanlings of the session, so certainly, familiar names, proven stallions there. Jane Lyon is another one who's just made such good moves with her broodmare band at Summer Wind in recent years. Of course, that band includes Little Princess Emma, the dam of Triple Crown winner American Pharoah, who she had purchased in the fall of 2014. Summer Wind, you mentioned, game winner, another recent horse to come out of there. And, Jane Lyon making a couple of purchases here at Keeneland November, including Tiffany's Honor, getting into that very good Better Than Honor Blush with Pride family, of course one of the most prominent families in the stud book. But yeah, Lady Eli was really the headline story of book one on Monday at Keeneland. This was actually the third time that she was cataloged at Keeneland November. Her partners Sol Cumin and Jay Hanley always intended to sell her at some point at the conclusion of her racing career, as they don't have breeding operations. So just sort of, the common sense thing to do to enter her into one of these major breeding stock sales. She was scratched from the sale after her four-year-old campaign because they intended to keep her and run her another year. They had her cataloged to sell after the Breeders' Cup in 2017. And, of course, that was the Breeders' Cup where she had such a rough break, was stepped on, coming out of the gate, needed the time to heal. and resulted in her being scratched from the sale last year. This year they cataloged her again and got her in full of the war front earlier in the year, which really just only enhanced her commercial value, obviously. Sold her $4.2 million. She's been boarded at Hill and Dale Farm for the past year since being scratched from last year's sale. And Hill and Dale consigned her on behalf of the owners, and in the end, John Sakura decided to add her to his broodmare pad. So she turned around and went right back to Hill and Dale. Her race record, her courage, her tenacity speaks for itself. But really, her family has been very commercially prominent in recent years. Her half-sister, Dizzy Caroline, a multiple graded stakes winner, was the dam of a seven-figure yearling at Keeneland September a couple of months ago. And I mentioned Larry Best's high-ticket Nyquist colt that he purchased yesterday. That colt is out of a half-sister to Lady Eli and Dizzy Caroline. So certainly a family that's, on the rise commercially, and I think that also attracted to John Sakura, whose Hill and Dale Farm, really has sold a lot of, very quality yearlings and weanlings in recent years. I think he's looking to Lady Eli to become that commercial powerhouse sort of mare for that operation.
Well, gets off to a good start, undoubtedly, with the Warfront that she'll deliver later in the winter. And other highlights the last 2 days, there's some obviously some racing prospects or broodmare prospects, and plenty of weanlings to come. There was the Tappet filly out of La Verdad that Mandy Bope just can't keep her hand down. She brought Three Chimneys in on this one. There was Clear Sky buying John Sakura out of that Tappet filly out of Bubbler, and obviously the high profile. There's another Triple Crown family story to talk about. Any number of weanling stories to come here, and it'll be very interesting over the next several days to watch and see, maybe some first crop stallions. It's a little early for this yet, but any thoughts? There was the Nyquist yesterday. That's a story.
Yeah, certainly. And, he's been well-received so far. His weanling price averaging a little over $200,000, I believe. I need to check the figure again after the end of yesterday's session. But Nyquist doing very well. Of course, California Chrome, the high-profile horse in this year's first crop weanling market. He's had sort of a small sample size to judge from so far, but one thing that I did notice is that he was one of the handful of first crop stallions who had weanlings selected both for Phasing Tipped in November and for Keeneland Book One. Of course, as you mentioned, the weanlings kind of tend to take more center stage as we get deeper into this Keeneland sale. So I consider it a real feather in the cap of a first year stallion if he, has a weanling that's evaluated and placed in Book One at Keeneland, where there is, sort of a small sample size. On the same token, also a feather in the cap of a first-year stallion to get weanlings in at Phasing November. That's a boutique single-session sale. Weanlings, a small segment of that market, with limited opportunity there. I think it's encouraging for a first-year stallion when they do have weanlings placed in that sale. And the two who actually had the most from the first crop group cataloged at Phasing November were Frosted at Darley and Spitester at Windstar Farm. So I found that very interesting. And, one thing I do have to reflect on from Book One at Keeneland November as well, you mentioned Triple Crown families. Well, the Gunther family, Glenwood Farm, which bred Justify this year, and Justify just won highlight in the year for them, where they've also campaigned their Group One winner Without Parole to the win at Royal Ascot. The Gunthers also bred Grade 2 winner My Miss Sophia, cultivated that whole family, which includes the likes of Florida Derby winner Materiality. And My Miss Sophia was the second highest price of Book One on Monday at Keeneland, selling for $4 million just behind Lady Eli. So, another gold star for the Gunther family this year. I think, really when Eclipse Award ballots go out next month, they're certainly the front runner, I believe, for Breeder of the Year.
And that's a story that really has been going on all year long between the two big 3 year olds, and even though it doesn't apply to the domestic argument, but you know, the success internationally. I mean, the Gunthers. This was a rare, unique year, and we talked to John Gunther after the Triple Crown, which was really a fun conversation. In fact, we'll probably feature during the holiday season when we get a break. You know, a couple of other names too. I see that the Run Happy weanlings are starting to sell, and of course they've been advertised much the way that Jim McInvale advertises mattresses. Pretty much banner ads everywhere. I think there's been five have gone through, averaging about 200,000.
Yeah, and you know, one thing I'm really noticing on the Run Happy so far is you know, they really have these long legs on them. That was one thing about Run Happy, was that, you know, I think one of the reasons he was so fast and so efficient was he covered a lot of ground. And I'm certainly, you know, it's hard to judge in the weanlings, but I'm certainly, you know, seeing that in them so far.
Some other thoughts, Nick, before we adjourn?
Well, of course, you know, I am keeping an eye on the second crop weanlings here by American Pharoah. Of course, did so well in the yearling market, you know, this year with his first yearlings. We're getting ready for them to start racing next year. American Pharoah, one really interesting thing about him was that typically you see farms really work to get a first-year stallion off to a good start with a strong book of mares, and then they might, you know, get slightly less quality the second, third, fourth years as, you know, we wait for their horses to prove themselves out, and as the farms turn to supporting, you know, their other new stallions trying to start everyone off on a good foot. But one interesting thing about American Pharoah, you know, as I've continually reviewed the reports of mares bred for him, is that I really think he's kept that quality as you would, you know, hope for a horse of his status. His second crop weanlings here, maybe not selling quite as well as the first crop did, but they're still, you know, averaging a very strong price for a young sire with no proven record on the racetrack. You know, he's averaging close to $250,000 with his second crop weanlings here so far at Keeneland. And I am going to continue to eye how these sell, because I do think that, you know, again, as I mentioned, the pinhookers have had a bit of a struggle in the market with the way some people are spending. But I do think that, you know, perhaps savvy pinhookers are going to say, gee, if these horses come out next year and run the way everybody hopes they will run, I could make a solid profit on one of these as a yearling pinhook next year. I'm going to come in and maybe get one now while the getting's good.
Well, and that's the foresight, and planning that, you know, that plays into decision making and you know, the way in which the business gets approached. It's why when you're formulating a plan, having the right partners, the people to help you if you're new to the game, it's vital, because those decisions make or break. Well, Nicole, as always, tremendous coverage, and you've been busy, and you've been keeping tabs on everything. Follow Nicole, of course, on Twitter, and her work in the breeding and sales drop down section at DRF, outstanding, and she loves pitching in on the racing part of it as well. And did you get a bet or two in, I got to ask, over the weekend?
You know, one or two. You know, I do. You know, I work with Dan Illman and our wonderful DRF video team, and on our weekly handicapping show Out of the Gate, you know, we did give out Uncle Benny as a pedigree handicapping pick for Future Stars Friday there at the Breeders' Cup, and, you know, we almost got there, so I sure hope that helped us, some people out with their exotics. But, you know, his pedigree says that he was, you know, crying out for a distance of ground, and he certainly, you know, ran to expectation.
Now, Nicole Russo always runs to expectations when we get chances to talk to her about any topic that she's covering. DRF Russo and Nicole, speaking of Future Stars Friday, Nicole, one of the stars on the up-and-coming front at DRF. Nicole, outstanding. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Nicole Russo does a great job. And in the Glenny Kane Oakford mold, with that maintaining relationships with lots of different breeders and the consigners, Nicole is dynamite. Really a great addition to the coverage. We'll take a break here. We've got about 25 minutes, a little less actually now, so we'll be right back. Either way, stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF past performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit DRF.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
To At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Talking away. I don't know what's left to say. I'll say it anyway. Today's not my day. It's about you shying away. All the time I feel I'm okay.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes to fill out on this Wednesday, and racing, of course, shifting down to Del Mar on the West Coast. We'll talk to Hammer on Friday, but right now, Bob Baffert joins us, and Bob gets another Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner, and certainly one of the highlights of the weekend for the Future Star Friday package, and Bob, congratulations.
Oh, thank you, and thanks for having me on.
How can we recap Breeders' Cup without having you on?
Well, it took you 3 days.
I said to Casey. I said, "Did he give you the business?" Well, you had an interesting weekend, and let's start with the highlight, the big win, and game winner. You had to negotiate an outside post a little bit. You got a terrific ride for Joel Rosario, but he may have taught himself how to ride accelerate on Saturday doing that.
Yeah, I mean, when he broke well, but I was watching the race from the paddock from that screen. You really can't see that well. I wish they would redo that one, because that's the only place I like to watch the race from the paddock, because if you get beat, you just run out to your car right away and get the hell out. I thought he was in trouble, but then when I went out and talked to Joel, I said, were you worried down the backside? He goes, no, I had a lot of horse. I just kept him right there. He was happy there. And I didn't want to move too early. And then when I watched the replay, later on that night on NBC, it was like, oh, wait a minute. He was good the whole way. He had a lot of horse. So he ran like we thought we expected him to. I knew that if he could just be within a couple lengths, turning for home of the leaders, that he's got a great kick. He just gets stronger, the further the better. So, I mean, he's definitely a two-turn type horse. And I was just worried that, Complexity was running really easy on the lead there. And when you have a horse that has brilliant speed like that, they can be really dangerous on, Breeders' Cup this time of year. But fortunately, our horse kicked in, and the horse that ran second, I mean, he was really, I mean, he ran it. He's a nice horse. He put up a pretty good fight there.
Ben Colebrook, people kind of dismissed the Breeders' Futurity winner, and he was tough to pass. There was a good 16th of a mile that Joel and Jimenez were going at it.
Yeah, I think once he had that little bump there, I think that got his momentum going. He got going, but came back. He wasn't tired, and so it was exciting. It was exciting for win for Gary and Mary West, because they put so much time in it, and they got a great team. Ben Glass, Jeff breaks the horses, and the doc. And, they work hard at it, and this is what, Gary wants to play at this level. I mean, he sends me 22-year-olds every year and said, find the good ones and send the rest back. I don't want them out there. and I do that. And we got lucky. We got one that's going to pay for the whole bunch.
Well, that's a big part of it. And of course, he was funny in the winner's circle. I heard him say something that really made me laugh. I forget who he was talking about, and he said, we just hope that we'd get another one. I said, get another one? You buy 40 yearlings a year. Of course you're going to come along with another good horse.
Well, I mean, he just, the thing is about it, he knows he's had a lot of bad luck, a lot of good luck. So, he knows he doesn't want to get himself too pumped up, because he knows, the disappointment of expecting too much and nothing happens. It's just really, the highs are high, the lows are so low. But he keeps it in check. He's just a real, he keeps it real. But he was so excited.
He was
really excited. And, we talked before, we're up there in the room, and, what our strategy was. And I go, well, I said, he needs to break well and be within, a few lengths off the pace there. And if he's close to him turning for home, I think we'll be in good shape. And I tell him, I says, one thing I learned about the Breeders' Cup race is that if you lead a really good one up there, they usually get it done. So I think he's really good. So, and he was.
And you, this is your fourth, and you said that you think of your Breeders' Cup juvenile winners, you feel this is the best horse so far along the way. I mean, in terms of development and where he is versus where the other ones were.
Yeah, I think so. I think the way he's still a big horse, big, heavy, strong horse, but I like the fact that he just gets stronger with the distance, and being that he won his first race, I really didn't expect him to win his first race, and he won it easy. And Futurity, he ran down, some really nice horses, and Roadster, and Instagram, So it was, that was, he showed right there, he's not a 7/8 horse, and he did a So, you know, I'm looking forward. And I got Roseberry. I got him back. He had a minor throat surgery, and he looks fantastic. So he'll be a big player. And improbable. I mean, I think he's going to be a big player. He looked pretty good also. So it's exciting. You know, just got to have to keep him healthy now. And Gary West knows, you know, it's a long ways off to the Derby. He can think about it, but still, you know, things go wrong. But I think he's in a pretty good spot right now. So, and it's nice to, you know, he wants to play at that top level. And I remember he got a champion last year with West Coast, and he was so excited. You don't know what it meant to him. He had the best speech because he said this game will, you not want to knock your head in the wall a couple times because it'll get you down. But he's got another, you know, looks like champion in the making there, unless, you know, I can't imagine anything else.
No,
taking it away from him, you know.
No, he's for no. He's absolutely.
Well, the bad thing we had New Year's Day.
New Year's Day
taken away. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Belief came around, and sort of swiped it from him, and he got hurt. So that was tough.
You mentioned improbable. Let's talk about who, you know, still has got some time yet this year. And, of course, the futurity at Los Al, a potential target. He was terrific following up the maiden win. And I thought that, in fact, in some ways, I mean, from a figure standpoint, Bob, I know it's a one-turn mile versus the two-turn mile in a 16th. But, you know, from a figure standpoint, improbable posted a bigger number, the city zip colt.
Yeah, well, the track, it was a little bit faster earlier in the day, I think. You know, that's why he ran fast. Because by the time Game Winner ran, the track was drying out. I could tell it was getting deeper. And when it starts, that's when it gets heavier, and it was pretty deep when we ran. So I think that's why, if he would have run earlier, he would have run a faster mile on the 16th. But they're two really good horses, and, you know, I didn't know what to think, you know, whether ran him on the turf or the dirt, but he trains so well in the dirt. You know, Drayton wanted me to try him in the juvenile turf going along, but he wouldn't have gotten in anyway. But, you know, something that may be down the road. But as long as he's doing well on dirt, he'll stay on the dirt.
Is he a candidate for Los Al for the futurity?
Yes, I think that's probably the logical spot.
Well, that wrapped up Friday, and overall pretty good. You know, you mentioned the turf race. I suppose a quick question I should ask you about Much Better, and what was your
takeaway from that? Yeah, you know what? He missed a break. I mean, we thought he'd be on the lead, and he just missed a break completely, and he's behind, and he got hit in the eye. He came back, and his eye was scratched up and shut for 3 days. I mean, he got hit pretty, something hit him pretty good in the eye. So luckily he just started to heal up now, but, after that, I knew that was something went amiss there, but he's going to be all right. But the eye was pretty bad shape there for a couple of days. He could not open it.
Like a clod, you mean? Like he got hit?
Yeah, he got hit with something, yeah.
Well, turn to Saturday, and I suppose Mike Smith might have made a slightly different decision the way things turned out at the start of the day. When Mike went wide, Bob, on the filly and mare sprint, and Marley's Freedom, I know you're the best horse and all that, but she really gave up too much ground.
Yeah, I was disappointed, you know, because I really thought, you know, my best chances were Game Winner and Marley's Freedom, the way she'd been training, and then when she was way back there. Mike said she was having trouble. She was scrambling a little bit early, but the guy that rode the winner,
yeah,
unbelievable, yeah. Ride. You know, we needed that kind of ride. You know, I told Mike about it. I said, well, he went for broke. Maybe I should have gone for broke. I thought maybe I could push him down. But you know what? It's one of those things where, you know, he sort of stay out of harm's way. And sometimes if you go down there, on Breeders' Cup Day, you need those kind of rides. You need a magical ride to get, because they're all pretty, you know, pretty even. So,
sure.
But she still ran, you know, getting beat a half a length for all of it after you do all that. It was sickening in a way, you know, it's pretty disappointing. But came back well, and that's racing luck. You know, that's what happened.
And she'll go on.
Yeah, she'll stay in training. She's of all of them, she actually looked. She was the sharpest coming out. I felt like I should have maybe prepped her before. Maybe it would have made it a little bit sharper away from there. But I don't know. You can always second guess yourself afterwards. But she was definitely the best. But unfortunately, it was. You know, she didn't get to prove it. And you got to prove it on the big days.
If pure and simple, if she saves two paths, she probably wins. She just lost too much ground on the turn. My first reaction, we'll talk about the distaff, and all week, Bob, leading up, we talked on the show about the absence of a late and whether or not the personal ensign, which KO'd her, obviously, had also taken a toll on Abel Tasman. What's your takeaway about what happened with Abel?
You know what? I thought maybe she just had a bad day here at San Anita, but just never could get her. You know, she was, health-wise, she looked sound and everything, but I know she got light after that. She got real light after the Belmont race, but I think it fried them both, you know.
Yep.
So, you hate to just sit there and on the sidelines and not take a shot. And, you know, and she got there, everything looked good. But and I told Mike I wanted it up closer, and he came back. He said, well, it was not the right move. You know, she does not want to run like that. And so, you know, we were scrambling there, and unfortunately it didn't work out. But she came back great, and I thought, well, might as well. They were thinking about running her next year, but, you know, so, but they're going to. We decided to retire because she's just, two bad races right in a row. That's not good.
No, the first thing in my mind was that race at Saratoga knocked them both for a loop, and
that was one of the most thrilling races. This summer. Those two, that was them just battling, and that was just, you know, great racing.
Val Dori's retired as well, and you did get her the grade one, though, so she gets the benefit of that.
Yeah, she missed the break. She was perfect, and she just moved. That's her whole deal. She moved. She moved back, and they kicked it. After that, she was just no. And I thought she looked really well, good, too, but, you know, that happens. But, you know, all in all, you know, the Breeders' Cup, it's tough. They're tough to win. Because you're in the end of the year and you're trying to, you got horses. Well, maybe I'll give them one more. Maybe I could do it here. It's not like, you know, that's why a lot of horses don't run as well. You know, it's like my older horses, Kenzie, he just never, that race at Parks really just zapped him. And I thought I had him back, but he didn't. And then they went so fast early. You know, it was, I when I saw the fraction, I thought, oh boy, that's not good. And then the West Coast, he just, you know, he never throws a bad race, but he just, you know, he got to the three. He's not the same horse. So, but you have to take a chance. You know, you have to take a shot because you never. And when Guinevere runs second, you know the pace is too fast. Huh? You know.
Well, I got to tell everybody. I think I mentioned it already on with Costa Aronis on Monday and Sadler yesterday. You were the first person over to John to congratulate him, and also, I thought it was Bodie came running over too and shook his hand and told him how great it was and congratulated. That was sweet.
Well, Bodie, he really likes John Sadler because he talks to him all the time, and you know, you're around here and stuff like that. But I was really happy for John Sadler. He works hard. He's out here every day, and he's had some good horses and tough luck. And finally, I never gave him such a hard time about his offer. I mean, you know, he's never. I told him he's never led horses up like he did this last week. You know, you gotta. That's the whole. The secret is who you lead up there, and accelerate. He actually ran really well for. He was on right behind that hot pace, so he really, you know, he hung in there really well. But he's, you know, I watched him work. His last two works here, they were pretty impressive. I knew he was going to be tough to beat.
Well, still a satisfying Breeders' Cup. What else were you struck with? Did you get a chance to watch Enable? What other things that you weren't involved in? Some Breeders' Cup thoughts from you?
Yeah, Enable race. that was entertaining. And then got to hang out with the boy Walker Buehler. And I told Walker, I said, they're going to, I said, he kept asking the classic. I said, I don't know if I can beat Accelerate. Accelerate, I kept telling him, Accelerate's the horse, Accelerate. So for some reason, he went down there to give a trophy out, and they asked him who he likes in the big race. For some, he kept thinking, I trained, he thought I trained Accelerate. He says, I'm going with Accelerate. I got to go with my man Bob. And then when I got in the paddock, he says, do you train Accelerate? I go, no. He says, oh, boy. he was funny, though. He's a good kid, but he loves horses, loves horse racing. He's a Lexington boy there, so he really enjoys it. He wants to buy a horse down the road, and he wants to compete in the Breeders' Cup and the Derby.
Well, and, of course, being out...
We got new fans.
Yeah, well, you got to get him over to Santa Anita now. Now that his career and really kick-started. Bob, also, before we go, I should mention, that was a nice performance by the Calbred, that Cruel Intention in the juvenile, the Golden State.
You know what? I got back to my room. That's why the West Coast, when they crossed the wire... Hey, I was the first guy in my car. I was out there. And we drove to the hotel, turned on the TV, and here comes the dueling. That was a tough Calbred State. And that was a big win. And, Alex Felice Jr. got me the horse. And Jim Rome, that's my first horse for Jim Rome.
Nice.
I was telling Jim Rome, I said, man, I needed that because I got my ass kicked today in the Breeders' Cup, and he says, "Don't talk to me about ass kicking on Breeders' Cup day."
Yeah, that's true, right?
It's funny. So that was a great race, and those are two good horses. Just Calbred, they're not supposed to run that hard and fast.
Well, 90 buyer for her. And, of course, Mother had won earlier in the week, too. We didn't mention her, the Rags to Riches.
Yeah,
that was a nice one.
Yeah, I took her there and, thinking juvenile, but that juvenile filly, that was too tough. Those fillies are really tough. The winner was good. Felipina, unfortunately, she didn't show up. But that was then... Those 3-year-old fillies, those 2-year-old fillies, that's going to be
good
the
division.
Kentucky Oaks next year. That's a strong, strong division.
Well, you got a loaded wagon. You come away with another juvenile, your fourth, and a good trip to Churchill for everybody. Bob, as always, well done. Congratulations. Talk soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, man.
Not at all. Bob Baffert, everybody, and a survey of his Breeders' Cup experience, not just Breeders' Cup too, but he also swept the two 2-year-old stakes, Mother and Improbable. Bob Baffert, Jay Pribman, Nicole Russo, Sid Fernando, and Pete Fornatale all joined us today. One more again tomorrow. Actually, two, really. We'll do plenty more recapping. Brad Cox tomorrow, Haskin, Tony Black. Going to fold in a visit with Paul Matisse, too, either tomorrow or Friday. Racing ready to go. It's a start of the week, even though we're off the turf in New York. Other options beside Aqueduct. What else we got today? Charlestown, Churchill. In fact, Gus looked at the late pick four. I'll put that up. Evangeline. What else we got? Mahoning. Gulfstream West. Indiana Grand. Take your pick and best of luck. Replay tomorrow 6 to 9. Talk to you live at the races 9 o'clock.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit DRF.com/multi-track today.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got 2 sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.